This week's Parsha is Parsha Shemos. We start a new book, and the Pasuk starts with Ve'ela, and these are. We are going to ask, why is it written Ve'ela, and these are, with a Vav, which means and. Normally, and connects something previously. So what is this Ve'ela, and these are the names connecting to last week's Parsha, and in which way are they connected? The Pasuk continues, Shemos b'nei Yisrael, these are the names of the Jewish people, Haboim Mitzrayma, that are coming to Mitzrayim. Haboim is a present tense. We're going to ask, they came already, why do you mean to say Haboim Mitzrayma, they coming to Egypt? And as Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ish ubeiso bo, that with Yaakov, each man and his family came. And came is in past tense, which is hard to understand, because in the beginning we're saying haboim, which are coming, in the present tense, and right afterwards we say that with Yaakov, each man and the family came in the past tense. So we have a contradiction in the pasuk itself. It starts in the present and ends up in the past tense. And then we enumerate all the children. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Ve'Asher. And we continue the pasuk, Vayehi, Kol Nefesh, Yoytze, Yerech, Yaakov. And it was all the souls that came out of the Yerech Yaakov, of the loins of Yaakov, Shivim Nefesh. Literally 70 soul. It is written nefesh and not nefashot. It is written in the singular soul and not souls, not in the plural, even though it was 70. The Yosef hayu b'Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Egypt. Why isn't Yosef included in the beginning of the 70? And what is the point to telling me the Yosef hayu b'Mitzrayim? And Yosef was in Egypt. So we'll first start with Ve'ela. Why is it written, and these are? All the Mefarshim ask this question. And Sefer Sharei Aharon brings down in the name of Rishonim. It doesn't say who the Rishonim are. A very good interpretation. Why Ve'ela? Why and this? Why does it connect to the last week's Parsha? It seems to make a connection to the last sentence of the book of Bereshis. The end of Vayichi, the last sentence was Vayisem Ba'oron Bemitzrayim, that Yosef died, and they took Yosef, and they put him in a coffin in Egypt, and Ve'ele Shemois Bnei Yisrael, and it connects to, these are the name of the Jewish people. The Shara Naharan explains that whenever you put somebody in a box, you should put the name of the person next to him. In other words, a source that when you bury somebody to make a matzeva, for you to know who the person was, is because it says, Vayisem bo'orem b'Mitzrayim, you put him in the Oren in Egypt, and right next to it is written, Ve'ele Shemos, and these are the names, so that's why it's coming to teach you that you should put the name on top of a coffin. The Evan Ezra explains that the reason it is written Avav Ve'ela, that is connecting to last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha on Pasuk number 23, there it says, Vayar Yosef le'Ephraim, and Yosef saw through Ephraim, Bnei Shileishim, three generations, Gam Bnei Machir ben Menashe, also the children of Machir, the son of Menashe, which is the third generation from Yosef, Yuldu Albirke Yosef, they were also born, or they were raised on the knees of Yosef. So Yosef merited to see three generations past him. Don't think that only Yosef got the bracha, that he saw his children multiply so quickly, but other brothers did not get this bracha. Therefore, the Torah tells you, Ve'ela Shemois Bnei Yisrael, and these are the name of the children of Yaakov, that even the brothers also ended up having a lot of children. Like the Pasuk brings down, They came only 70 people, and yet Uvnei Yisrael paru veyishritzu. The Jewish people became fruitful. They teamed. They multiplied. They became strong. Bemoed meoid, alat alat, to tell you that all the other brothers also merited to have a lot of children. That population growth wasn't only limited to Yosef. It included all the brothers. That's why it's written the Vav, to tell you that they also merited to see great-grandchildren. Not only Yosef merited to see his third generation, but they also had a lot of children, and the entire Jewish population multiplied very quickly. The question on the Eben Ezra is that the Pasuk could have just written down, instead of Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael, and going back and telling us all the names of all the people that came down and the total numbers, the Torah could have just written down Pasuk number 7, Uvnei Yisrael paru ve'ishritzu ve'yirbu ve'yaspu ve'moid moid, that the children of Yaakov also multiplied and became fruitful and had a lot of children. You don't have to repeat the whole story that 70 people came down to Egypt and all the names of the people that come down. Even if you tell me that's important to write down that originally the Jewish people were 70 people, still you could have started with Pasuk number 5, Vahi kol nefesh yoytze yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh, and Uvnei Yisrael paru veishritzu veyirbu veyatzbo v'moid moid, that the people that came down to Egypt were 70, and the Jewish people multiplied and became fruitful and teamed a lot, a lot. The Torah doesn't have to give me everybody's name that came down again, according to the Eben Ezra. If the whole point is to let me know that everybody multiplied, not only Yosef, the Torah doesn't have to give me in such details everybody that came down. The Torah could have just started with Pasuk number 4 even, that the Jewish people that came down to Egypt were 70, and the Jewish people multiplied, became fruitful, and so forth. The Ramban answers this question very logically. He explains that since the book of Shemos is the book of Shibut and Geulah, of enslavement and redemption, is separate from the book of Bereshit in the way that book of Bereshit talks about the Avot, talks about our forefathers, and at that point the generation of the forefathers is gone, and book of Shemot is a book of redemption, so much that the Ramban calls it Sefer HaGeulah, the book of redemption, not the book of names. Therefore, the Ramban says that it's normal for you to pick up again where you left off. In other words, since we have to write down about the exile of the Jewish people and the redemption of the Jewish people, it's only fitting that we should import a pasuk that was written before in Parshas Vayigash, chapter 46, pasuk number 8. There says exactly the same words. Says Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael Haboi Mitzrayma Yaakov Uvonov. There is written, these are the names of the Jewish people that came down Egypt. And the Ramban says that even though there he goes through an exact detail, a minute detail of every single person that came down, but here, since it's only using it as a reference, it's only trying to bring up to continue the story, then it's not necessary to mention every grandchild, every great-grandchild that came down. Therefore, it only mentions the main children of Yaakov, the 12 tribes, and doesn't mention everybody else. The Ramban explains that since we have to continue with the story of the Shibut, the story of the enslavement of the Jewish people, we have to know how they got there. So that is basically an introduction to the story that we're going to continue in this book. This book is the book of the enslavement and the book of the redemption. In order to start this book, we have to let you know where we're coming from, how many we were, and how we became a great nation. And that's why he brings the same pasuk that he brought before, where he changed the story, where he forked out of the story. In other words, we have branched out in the story somewhere else. Now, to restart the story, we're bringing you again the pasuk that was originally when we came down, even though it's not exactly the same. So ve'ele shemos, because that is exactly the pasuk that's written on Parshas Vayigash, where the Jewish people went down, and we pick the story from there. We kind of go to the story in a different angle. And he brings a proof, the same thing that happened in the book of Divrei Yomim, in the book of Ezra, that even though certain things were repeated, but since it's going in a different angle, it's okay to bring the whole pasuk again. The only question on the Ramban is if you want to bring what's happening before, you could have written down that this is the names of the Jewish people that come down to Egypt. Yaakov issued base above. Yaakov came with his whole family, and there was 70 people that came down. Why is it important to bring the names of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everybody else, and tell you that Yosef was in Egypt, if the only point of bringing this pasuk is to restart the story? It's not important to let you know exactly who those 12 people that came down were. It's enough to let you know that Yaakov and his children came down to Egypt, and that they totaled 70, and continue the story from now. Why was it important to count them again and tell the names of the head of the tribes? Sefer Sechel Tov brings down what's written in Rashi on Ve'el HaMishpatim, which is chapter 21, pasuk number 1. There Rashi says, which is actually quoted by Rabbi Avu b'Shem Rabbi Yossi ben Zimri, Kol Mokum Shenemar Eile, every place that the word Eile is written, Pasal HaSarishonim cancels what is written before that. Ve'Eile, when it's written Ve'Eile, when it's written and this, the and is the connector, and therefore Moisiv al Rishonim comes to add what is written before. So it means to say that Ve'ele comes to add a new generation, that a new generation of Jewish people were created later on. But it doesn't answer how come it's written again, each individual name separate. It could have just be written Ve'ele B'nei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayma, as Yaakov Ishi Bezo, U'vnei Yisrael Paru V'Ishritzu, and that the Jewish people multiplied. You don't have to write me down again all the names of the people. Why is it so important to have the names of the people? The Or HaChaim seems to echo what the Sechel Tov brings down, but not in the same way. In other words, the Or HaChaim says, true, that every time it says Ve'ele and this, Moisi Valin Yerishon comes to add what was written before, but not just to tell you that they had another generation. He brings down to tell you the same way that the previous book is talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and they were righteous people. So too, Ve'ele, Shemos B'nai Yisrael, these two are connected to Yaakov, that the children of Yaakov were connected to Yaakov. The same way Yaakov was a righteous person, so too all his 12 sons were righteous. And that's why they are all enumerated again. They all listed separately to let you know that each one of them was a part of Yaakov and was connected to him through righteousness. Another answer Or HaChaim brings and tells you that the connection is to let you know that since now this book, like the Ramban says, is the book of exile, so it's connecting the exile to Yitzchak and Yaakov. We know, according to Rashi, the 400 years that we're supposed to be slaves started from the birth of Yitzchak. So it's telling you that the same way Yitzchak and Yaakov, that they had part of the Galut, they have part of the enslavement, so these people that came down to Egypt also fulfilled the enslavement. Or he gives a third interpretation. He says that in the same way that Yaakov, when he was in Galut, he realized that this is the beginning of the Galut. That's why he went to Beersheba to pray for the impending Galut, the impending exile, and Hashem tells them, I am going down with you, and I will come back with you, and I'll bring you up. So Yaakov realized that this is the enslavement, and he was mekabel b'ahava, he accepted lovingly. So too, Yaakov's children all went, even though they knew that is going to be part of enslavement, and they probably won't go back up. Nonetheless, they were mekabelet b'ahava, they accepted lovingly. Not like Esav, that ran away to Seir as not to be charged with the decree that was given to Abraham that 400 years your children will be slaves. But they accepted it lovingly and came down to Egypt. So that's why it's written, Ve'ela, that the same way that Yaakov Avinu came down and accepted the decree of Galut lovingly, so too the children of Yaakov accepted it. And that could be the reason that each one is listed separately, because each one of them accepted it, and to give them honor for that acceptance. The same way that Chasam Sofer brings down by the Chnesim, that when you do something good, Hashem makes sure that you are listed separately, even though by the Nesim there it's written 12 times the same thing that each one brought for the inauguration of the temple on the end of Parshas Nasoi. Technically, the Torah could have just written down that in 12 days, each Nasi of each tribe brought this sacrifice in one day, and doesn't have to write down 12 times the same thing. Could have written one time and said that all 12 Nasim brought this one thing each day. And the Chasam Sofer explains that when you do something right, Hashem doesn't spare the ink, and Hashem doesn't mind writing, even though it's repetitious, even though it's the same thing again, but to give honor to each Nasi, he decided to write down exactly what which one brought, even though it's exactly the same as the previous one. When you do something right, he wants to make sure that you acknowledge. So too could be here. True that you could just write down the 12 children of Yaakov came down, or 70 people came down, and not list them separately. But since the Shevatim, they accepted the Ola Golus, they accepted the yoke of the enslavement, and did not complain because they knew it's Hashem's will, and Hashem wanted it, Hashem decided to give them the reward and list them again. When we're talking about the exile, that listed them again, the same way that Yaakov Avinu accepted Bahava, so too they accepted Bahava, and therefore each name is listed separately. The first Rashi of the Parsha seems to ask this question, and Rashi says, Afal Pishem Monam Bechayem, even though before on Parshas Vayigash you already have a count of the Jewish people, so why do we need to have a count again? So Chazar Umanam b'misasam, that even though Hashem counted their names when they were alive, Hashem still decided to count their name when they are dead. So Rashi explains why. Lehoidia chibosam, to teach you Hashem's love, shenim shu lekechovim, that Hashem views the Jewish people as stars. Like the Pasuk brings down on Bereishis, chapter 15, Pasuk number 5, Hashem is promising Avraham, Habet no Hashomaima, gaze now towards heaven, Usfora Koichovim, and counts the stars. Im Tucha Lispor, if you could count the stars, and the end it says, Koye Zaracha, so your children will be. So we see from that Pasuk that Hashem symbolizes us as stars, and by stars, Hashem brings in and brings out the stars by numbers and by names. Like the Pasuk brings down that Amoitzi b'mispar tzevam, Hashem who takes out in numbers the stars, lechulam b'shem ikra, he calls all of them by names, and that's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 40, Pasuk 26. So we see that Hashem counts the stars when he brings them in and gives them names in the stars when he places them in heaven and he takes them out. He does the same way for the Jewish people. He counts them and he gives them names. So in other words, since Hashem loves us so much, so by the time we came to Egypt where the whole generation lived, then Hashem counted the names of every person and the number of every person. And now after the death of Yaakov and that whole generation, Hashem made sure that he counted their names again, and therefore the names are mentioned again, and he also counted their numbers, that there were 70 people. And the Sifse Chachamim explains that could also be the reason why it's written the Vav, that Ve'ela is connecting that the same way Hashem counted them B'chayehem, because Hashem counted them when they were alive and gave them names, so too, when they die, Hashem counts them again, how many they were, and also mentions their names. So the Vav is connecting to the death of Yosef, that after Yosef died, things started going bad, but before things started going bad, since Hashem loves us so much, Hashem counts us again. In truth, I heard from Lisa Barrett, who quoted Toby Wolf, and she said that if you take a look at every first Rashi on all five books of Moses, you will see that in every Rashi there is some kind of chiba, some kind of love or honor of the Jewish people that is related to and is mentioned. On Bereishis, Rashi is saying that Koyach Masov Higid Lamoy, that the whole story of creation is written only for us to be able to tell the Goyim, the nations of the world, that we deserve this land Hashem gave us as a gift, Eretz Yisrael. So it comes out that the whole Bereishis, according to Rashi, is only written for the honor or for the benefit of the Jewish people. So the Jewish people will know that Hashem loves them, and Hashem gives the land to whomever He wants, since He's the creator of the world. In other words, the whole idea of creation is to let you know that Hashem is giving it as a gift to the Jewish people. The land of Israel is ours. Or you could even go the second Rashi, which Rashi says, Bereishis bara Elokim bishvil Israel shenikru Reshit, that because of the Jewish people are called Reshit, are called first, that's why the world was created. So we see on the first Pasuk that the whole story of creation is written only in honor of the Jewish people. That is the book of Bereishis. Now, the beginning of the book of Shmos, Her ve'ele shemot b'nei Israel, Rashi writes down that because Hashem loves us, therefore Hashem is counting us again. That because He loves us so much, therefore He's counting us again, and He doesn't mind spending the extra psukim to show that love. On Parshas Vayikra, there Rashi writes down, why is it written with small aleph? So Rashi writes down that Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. It's a language of love. That's the language the angels use. And Hashem wanted to show His special love for the Jewish people, that the prophet is called by Hashem directly. Not like the prophet of Umot HaOlam, not like the prophet of the nations, that it's written in a language of happenstance and finding. Vayikra Hashem Moshe, Hashem calls the prophet of the Jewish people, because of the Jewish people, Hashem calls them directly, like in calling them and making a meeting, not a chance encounter. We see from this Rashi also that the Aleph is written only because of the special love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. And in the book of Bamidbar, the first Rashi is bothered, why is Hashem counting the Jewish people again? So Rashi answers, Mishtochi Bosom, Moini Oysom Kol Sho, because Hashem loves us, that's why He's counting us again. We left Egypt, He counted us. After we did the golden calf, He counted us to know how many are remaining. And now that He built the tabernacle and Hashem's presence was over us, He counts us to know how many people received His divine presence. Again, we see clearly that in the book of Bamidbar, the first Rashi again is mentioning the special love, the special relationship that Hashem has with the Jewish people. And in the last book, the book of Devarim, the first Rashi says, Eile HaDvarim, Rashi explains that these are words of rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Jewish people on their sins. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them rebuke on their sins, but doesn't mention their sins at all. He only mentions the places that their sins took place, but the sins itself he does not mention. Rashi mentions why, that because of the honor of the Jewish people, it's not proper to give them rebuke directly and embarrass them. You have to hint to them and they will automatically understand what was done wrong. That you're not allowed to give noble people the rebuke that they did wrong in their face, that you should mask it in a nice way so they will get the hint and not embarrass them and telling them exactly what they did wrong. So again, you see from this Rashi that when we start a new book, Hashem is already putting the idea that He loves us. So we see again that all five books of Moses start with words of love and words of encouragement from Hashem. And that could be an example for us, that even though when we get angry at our children and we want to rebuke them and we want to tell them what they did wrong, but before everything we do, we have to start and saying how much we love them. It could be that it is not only for the child receiving the rebuke, that the child, even though he's rebuked, before you rebuke him, the child himself has to know that the rebuke is coming out of love and that you're not just screaming because you hate him, that you actually love him and that's why you are rebuking him and that's why you're complaining on what he does and that's why you're disappointed on what he did or does. But it is also for the person doing the screaming, that the person doing the screaming has to know that even though he is angry at what the child did and he's upset with the child, he has to tell himself that he loves that child, he honors that child, and he's only doing it, the complaining and the screaming and the getting angry, because of that love. If he does that, automatically that screaming and that rebuking will have other meaning and the child will see that you're really doing it out of love. Don't let your anger overwhelm you and make you forget about your love. You first, before anything, the same way Hashem, before anything, before he even starts writing down any of the books, he first lets us know how much he loves us. So too, we have to express and have to think before we do anything to our children or do anything to other people that we angry or we want to rebuke, we have to know that we love them and we have to voice it out and make sure that they hear it and most importantly, make sure that you yourself hear it. In the same way, the first Rashi always lets us know that Hashem is writing these extra words or writing in such a way specially because His love of us. So too, you have to know ve'olachto bidrachov, that you have to walk on the path of Hashem, that you have a mitzvah to try to emulate Hashem in His ways. So Hashem is giving you the hint, before you say anything, you gotta make sure you tell the people you love that you love them. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains why just now are we putting together the idea that the Jewish people are like stars. Like I mentioned before, that the Hashem already promised Avraham Avinu that we are going to be like stars. So why just now Rashi brings up the idea that we are like stars? Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that since Yaakov Avinu is considered like the sun, from the dream of Yosef, we see Hine Hashemesh Ve'oreach, that the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing to me. That Yosef dreamt that Yaakov and Rachel or Bila and 11 children will come to bow to him. So we see from there that Yaakov Avinu is considered the sun. When the sun is out, we cannot see the stars very well. Only when the sun sets and the sky gets dark, that's when he could see the stars. So too, while Yaakov Avinu was alive, we could not see the brothers' effect so much. Even though the brothers were considered like stars and they were shining brightly, but the great shine of the sun overpowered the shine of the stars and they were not visible as much. But once Yaakov Avinu passed away, now we could see the shine of the sons of Yaakov, which are the stars. Now we can understand better what Rashi means to say by Ve'ele Shemois Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma, that now after Yaakov's death we could feel better, or we could actually see the light and the shine of the stars, which is equivalent to the sons of Yaakov, and now they become more noticeable. After Yaakov died, then Ve'ele Shemot Bnei Yisrael Haboyim, now even though they came before, now they become visible. Up till now they became effused by the light of the sun, but now with the death of Yaakov they became visible, so it is like they are coming now to Egypt. So that's why it's saying after Yaakov died, Ve'ele Shemois Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma. Now we could feel the light of the people that are coming to Egypt in the present tense, that until now they came, really they came before, but you did not feel their light. But now that Yaakov died, we could actually feel their light. So it's like they're just coming now. Or we could answer like the Kli Yoker brings down, and with that we'll understand the contradiction why it's written Haboyim and then it's written that with Yaakov they came. That while Yosef was alive, the Egyptians still respected Yosef. They gave the Jewish people certain rights, and Yosef looked out for the Jewish people. So even though they were in Egypt and the beginning of the exile already started, but they haven't felt yet the true force of the Egyptian exile. But now that Yosef died, and Vayisem Baharan, Yosef were put in a box, now all of a sudden we lost our government protection, and now the Egyptians start causing us trouble. The Jewish people feel the exile, so now Ve'ele Shemois Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma. Now it feels like they are coming now to Egypt, even though they came already before. But before, it didn't feel like Egypt. But since now is when the exile really begins, now you feel like you're coming to Mitzrayma. You feel like you're coming to Mitzrayim. And not only that, but the pasuk continues that as Yaakov, Ishu Beis Abahu, but with Yaakov, before his family came. In actuality, they all came before with Yaakov. But now, since they're starting to feel physical pain or spiritual pain, now it feels like just now they're coming to Egypt. Even though they were here already from before when Yaakov came, and that's what the pasuk means to say, that they actually came together with Yaakov, but while Yaakov was alive and while Yosef was alive, everything was fine. But now, after Yosef was put in the Ohren Mitzrayim, now we feel like we're coming now to Egypt. The Sfasemes explains that what it means that we are supposed to exemplify it like stars, and why didn't he mention before, is specifically to tell you that the same way that stars are made to light up the night, so too the Jewish people are made to light up the galut. That the Jewish people are to be the or of the Gola, that we have to be the light in the exile, because we are exemplified like stars, and stars shine at night, and now that we're going to exile, and we are in Egypt, so that's why Rashi sees fit to see that Hashem is counting us like stars, to symbolize that now we have to be a light for all the exile. The Baal HaTurim brings down that the reason it's written Ve'ele with a Vav, which comes to add to what was written before. Before we have the commandment of Yosef, that Yosef tells him what to do before he dies. So the Baal HaTurim says, Ve'ele Shemois Bnei Yisrael, that Yosef told them to be very careful with the Jewish names. The Medrash says that because of four things we were redeemed, that we didn't change our names, we didn't change our language, we didn't change our clothing, and we were girded in immorality, we did not assimilate. That is the reason we were redeemed. So Yosef was telling them that one of the way Hashem is going to redeem you, Pokod Yivkoit Elohim Eschem, Hashem will surely redeem you and He will remember you. That is only if you do not change your name. If you change your name, then you won't have the merit to be redeemed. So that's why he says, Ve'ele Shemois Bnei Yisrael, that this is the name of the Jewish people, and that fits very well why later on the Pasuk says, Ve'yosef hayu b'Mitzrayim, Yosef was in Egypt. Even though Paroi called him Tzofnas Paneach, Paroi called him with an Egyptian name, but nonetheless, Ve'yosef, Yosef still hayu b'Mitzrayim. When he was in Mitzrayim, he still called himself Yosef. Therefore, if you want to be redeemed, you got to be very careful that you shouldn't change your Jewish name. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on Igres Moshe, Chelek Dalet, Simon Samach Vav. There he has a question about using non-Jewish names nowadays, and he comes to the conclusion that in truth, there is always better to use a Jewish name, and it's also a very good quality, since the rabbis say that one of the reasons of redemption is our Jewish name, but there is no prohibition in using a non-Jewish name. And if there is a reason, like naming after your mother or after your mother-in-law, then you should use the non-Jewish name, and it's absolutely not prohibited. And he brings a proof from the Magid Mishnah that he was called Rabbeinu Vidal, and Vidal is not a Jewish name, it's a Spanish name, which means life. Also, all the names in Yiddish are not Jewish names. Feige is not a Jewish name. Gittel is not a Jewish name. And yet we see it always in use. And he explains, true, probably when they started using those names, the rabbis probably screamed at them, but now it's accepted as names. So too, we accept names. And he says that technically I could bring you a proof from the Gemara, because there we have Rav Papa, Rav Katina, Rav Zvid, and other names that technically are Aramaic name, but could be Aramaic names have got greater Kedusha or greater holiness than a name in any other language. Because the Gemara in Yerushalmi Sota, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, says, Loisehei Loshna Arami Kala Beinecho, that you should not take the language of Arami light in your eyes, because we see that Arami is found in Torah, Nevi'im Iksuvim, that the language of Aramaic is found in all these three books. In the Torah, we know clearly that Lavan called the mountain Yegar Sahadusa, so we see that Aramaic has a special chashuvas, has a special importance, so you can't bring the proof that since the rabbis use Aramaic, therefore you could use, but nonetheless, he sticks to his opinion that there is no prohibition in using a non-Jewish name as a name. Yes, a question. We know this famous Midrash, which I just mentioned, that the only reason we were redeemed is because we did not change our names. He explains, maybe this was before Matan Torah. Before the Torah was given, the Jewish people did not have a way to have an identity, so the Jewish people had to wear the clothing, and they had to have the Jewish names, and they have to have the language in order to be separate. But now that we have the Torah, so if we have the Torah identifies us as a nation. The Jewish name is not necessary anymore to unite us. And since the Jewish name is not necessary, it's okay to call any person by any name you want. In other words, when we have the Torah unifies the Jewish people. We don't require to be unified anymore by our name. Before the Torah was given, there was no identity, so our identity was our names, our clothing, and our language. But now that we have a Torah, we don't need to have those signs anymore because the Torah unified us. In Even Ezer, Chelek Gimel, Siman Lamed Hei, Rav Moshe Feinstein brings down another proof that the names nowadays are not important. Because the other item that we mentioned that we merited redemption was that we didn't change our language. That means that we're supposed to speak Lashon Kodesh. He says that in Europe, very few Rabbonim spoke in Lashon Kodesh. Most Rabbonim spoke Yiddish. And he also brings the Rambam in Perash HaMishnah, beginning of Trumas. He says that even he forgot a lot of the words in Lashon Kodesh. So nowadays, even the Lashon Kodesh we speak nowadays is not Lashon Kodesh. And that was also one of the reasons for redemption. So obviously, it must mean that only before the Torah was given, then we were required to have that connection of language, name, and clothing. But now that we have a Torah, we're not required to have that. And he concludes saying that all he's saying is only a conjecture in theory. It is always better to have a Jewish name, but for sure there is no prohibition on a person having an English name. Rav Moshe Feinstein on Orach Chaim Chelek Hei Siman Yud Sub Chelek Hei was asked by a Rav Emanuel the same idea that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that before the Torah was given, our identity was our names. Nowadays, that people do not keep Torah, maybe our identities is our names. Maybe we should not have non-Jewish names. Since the original reason that Rav Moshe says that the names was only important before Torah was given to keep a Jewish identity, so nowadays we should again resort to have Jewish names. So Rav Moshe answers him that it's more important that you should focus on the person making mitzvahs than having the person change his name. That if a person has a non-Jewish name and you have to work on him to change his name, it's more important that you should work on him to keep mitzvahs than changing his name. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael Aboim, that the last letters of Ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael Aboim, which is Ele has the Hey, Shmois has the Tav, Bnei has the Yud, Israel has the Lamed, Haboim has the Mem, which the Sefer or David brings down, that this makes the last letters Tehilim, that the way to get out of the Galut, if you're coming to Mitzrayim, the way to get out of Galut is by reading Tehilim. Reading Tehilim helps you to get out of the exile. Also, S. Yaakov Ish, the last letters of Ace Yaakov Ish is Ace has the Tav, Yaakov has the Vet, Ish has the Shin, Tav Vase Shin, which makes the letters Shabbat, that the merit of Shabbat and the merit of us saying Tehillim, Hashem should help that we should end this Galut, we should end this exile, that Moshiach should come and Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, Bimheiru Beyomeinu, Amen.